It's so good to see you here. We are glad that you're here this morning to worship with us at Sagemont. My name is Cody Watucky. I'm the student pastor here at Sagemont. Have the privilege of shepherding our students. Shout out to the student ministry. And alongside Chuck and Tracy and the rest of our crew. And so it's awesome to be here with you guys today. And I don't really know how many of you guys would consider yourselves a talker, right? If you consider yourselves a talker, just raise your hand real quick. So if you know me personally, I'm a talker. I like to talk. Like, I think God made me a talker just so I could do ministry better, right? Because I was talking last hour with our J-High students. I said, you know what? Sometimes I think God gives us a little bit of awkward so that we can interact with awkward people, right? We talk with people, live it up with them. And so I like a good story. And so one of my stories in the Bible that I want us to go through today is the parable of the sower, right? Probably many of you have heard this parable before. And there is so much truth in this parable that you and I can learn from. Because maybe you don't know exactly what a parable is, but by definition, a parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or a spiritual lesson. And sometimes, I'll be the first to admit it, I need a story for me to grasp a biblical concept, right? It's not like every time that I open up my Bible, I read something, and just the very first time I'm like, oh God, thanks for showing me that, right? Sometimes I have to go back, I have to ask God, okay, what are you trying to show me here? What is it that I need to know from this? And today, we're going to dig into the parable of the sower. So if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and open up or open your Bible app to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, and we're going to be in verses 1 through 23, all right? Matthew 13, 1 through 23. Here's what it says in the parable of the sower. It says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed, and some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. It goes on to say in the purpose of the parables, then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Asking Jesus. And Jesus answered, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have in abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear. Nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. With their ears, they can barely hear, and their eyes they've closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. And this is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the world, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So the bottom line, when we're looking at this today, what I want us to grab from this scripture is this. God has provided us an opportunity to be in relationship with him. And so now we must respond. We have to know that we must respond to this opportunity that we've been given, right? And so I don't know about how many gardeners do we have in the room? Like, you love to garden. I'm not a gardener. Okay, like, I do enough yard work to just, it's slightly therapeutic, but I'm not a gardener. My grandfather, big time gardener. I remember growing up, he'd grow tomatoes, he'd grow peppers, right? He would grow all these things in this little garden on the side of his house. I'm not a gardener. And maybe some of you are, and you know what it means to take something that is a seed and put the work into it, to put it in the ground and to nurture it and to water it and to care for it day by day, to see something spring up out of the soil and then for that thing to bear fruit or vegetables, right? Whatever it is that you put there. And so one of our desires here at Sagemont, amongst our staff, amongst our church family, is that for all of us to know who we firmly are in Christ and to be a disciple who makes disciples, to take the Great Commission and to run with it, right? To share the hope that we have with us, that we would have a strong, contagious faith and be willing to share the hope that is alive in us with others. And so today, I want us to look at these four seeds that the parable talked about, and I want us to ask ourselves an honest question. Is, which seed am I? Which seed am I in this parable? And I want us to look at that and have an honest conversation before the Lord. And so the first type of seed that we see in this parable was the seed that was scattered along the path, right? And so verse 3, it says, he told him many things in parables, saying a sower went out to sow some seed, and he sowed that, and they fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured the seeds. So here we have the first seed scattered amongst the path. Think about this for a minute. If you're trying to grow something, right? You're trying to grow a vegetable, you're trying to grow a fruit tree, whatever else. You're trying to grow something, and you scatter the seed on a road or a path instead of dirt or a field that has been worked, that has been prepared. And this road, this path, has people and animals growing across it all the time. How can you expect that thing, that seed, to be planted and not devoured? Because the odds are either an animal is going to come along and say, "Ooh, I'm so glad you put that seed right here," right? He's going to eat it up. Or you're going to have the kid that like jumps through the puddles, but instead of jumping through the puddles, it's just like stomping on all your seed, right? And so you have this seed that's along the path, and here's what I want us to understand. The first seed scattered along the path, you and I, sometimes we have a tendency to spend too much time planting ourselves in places where we can't grow. And then spend a ton of time wondering why God isn't doing something radical in our lives. But we never ask the question to ourselves, where am I planted? What am I doing? What are the things that I need to be doing in order to grow? So what I want us to see, the first thing I want us to see from that seed that morning is, don't plant yourself in a place that you cannot grow. So the thing is in this region, right, there was a lot of things that were going on and there was paths amongst the field. There weren't a lot of fences or everything to keep it in. And so things are going back and forth all the times, wagons and animals. And so I imagine that these paths, they look so beat up and worn and dry that they look like the football field I used to practice on for Little League, right? Shout out to the LaPorte Texans, okay? Our football practice field was so dry at times, they get those little gullies in the dirt, and it was like if you were running, you would twist your ankle on those things sometimes, right? Because they were so deep. Things were so dry. And there's no way that if I were to try to like go and just plant a seed back in my old practice football field, there's no way that I would be able to do that and see something grow if I didn't go and prepare the soil first, if I didn't go and nurture that seed and make sure that it had everything we needed. So if these seeds were going to be left out in the open, they're going to be snatched up or stomped on by a passerby. And the second thing that I want you and I to understand from this first seed is that our foundation, it matters. Who we are, our identity, our foundation, and who we are matters. And for those of us here in this room who are followers of Jesus, we understand that our foundation is Him. He is who we stand on, right? He is the one that we look to when everything else is spinning in our life. We can count on Him. Our worship team shared that our God is constant, right? I find hope in that. I find comfort in knowing that my God is constant, that He is the same today as He was 1,000 years ago, and that one day I'm going to get to see Him and worship Him for all of eternity. Our foundation matters because think about this. There are so many things that we can build ourselves on. But let's think about this. If you're building a house, one of the first things that you're going to talk about after all the land is cleared and the lot is cleared and you're starting to talk with the designers and whatnot is they're going to talk about the foundation. The foundation has to be poured before you can build anything on top of it. And so some of us here in this room today, we come and we're trying to build something atop a foundation that's not there yet. Our foundation, it matters. It makes all the difference. And we go and we look through this parable. And in verses 11 through 17, Jesus explains to his audience why he's painting this picture. Because they don't see it yet. They don't hear it yet. They haven't responded to it yet. And so he says, you know what? Let me paint a picture for y'all so that you can understand the truth that I am trying to show you. And that you have an opportunity to respond to it. And so we ask that question this morning, which seed am I? And when we look further down in the parable, it says that the first seed is the one who hears but doesn't understand. And this is why, church, that one of the greatest things we can do in our walk while you're spending time in community with other believers and a course with the Lord is to ask why. Ask the question why. Think about it, right? If you have littles and you're here in this room or you got grandchildren, think about one of the number one questions they ask. Why? You're like, hey, go clean your room. Why? Hey, eat your vegetables. Why? Hey, don't jump off the roof with a yoga ball. Why? You know? They ask why all the time. And for us, we have to ask why sometimes so that we can understand and have a deeper knowledge of who God is. Ask people around us, people that are further ahead. I hear Brother John talk about that all the time, that he has mentors in his life who are further ahead than he is that speak into his life. Because I promise you, there have been times where I've opened up scripture and I'm just like, God, I don't know what you're trying to tell me right here, right? And I've gone to Zach or I've gone to Chuck or I've gone to somebody else and said, hey, help me understand what's going on here, right? Or help me understand what God's trying to tell me in this season. And so we look at that first seed, and it's that person who hears but doesn't understand. And I don't know what it is sometimes. Maybe it's a pride issue. Maybe that's why we don't like asking questions, right? Like I know some of the guys in the room, we may just want to be like, ooh, I got it all figured out. Like I got it. I don't like to ask questions because I don't want anybody to think like I haven't been reading my Bible. Like I'm just a little bit nervous, right? But some of us in the room, we also know personally that we didn't respond to the gospel the very first time we heard it. Some of us responded to the gospel the seventh time we heard it or the 232nd time we heard it, right? There's something about the Word of God, and it is strong and it is true. And if you are here today and you want to have a deeper understanding of the heart of God for you, then I challenge you to press in and to dig into His Word and to see what He has written for you, right? Because the enemy, he loves for us to not ask questions. He loves for us to just be stagnant in our faith and to be okay with that. Why? Because every part of the way, when we're not digging in, when we're not pressing deeper, he's just going to spit lies into our ears and whisper lies into our ears and do everything that he can to try and distract us or to snatch us away from what we have begun to think in encountering the Lord and in our walks with the Lord. One of the translations of the Bible that I like to use with our students from time to time is the Message. And it puts things, sometimes clarifies some of the wording. And here's what it says from this particular passage. It says, when anyone hears news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in, it just remains on the surface so that the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of the person's heart. And you see, this is why surface-level Christianity should just never be enough for you and I. Understanding that just because we attend church once or twice a week doesn't mean that we're a follower of Christ. Being a follower of Jesus means that we walk with Him. It means that we've laid our faith in Him. It means that we do everything we can to live a life of obedience. Just like the song that we sang out this morning. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love's great. That's what it means for us to be a follower, to love others, faith expressed through love. The second seed is the seed sown amongst the rocks. And in Scripture, verse 20 tells us that this is the one who hears the word and receives it with joy, but has no root in himself. Because when trial or persecution comes, because they are now proclaiming Jesus, they fall away. Listen to how the Message translation puts this one. This is the person who hears and instantly responds with enthusiasm. They say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for all you're doing. Like, God, I'm on fire for you. I'm going to change my community. I'm going to change my street. Like, you are so good. I'd never turn my back on you. But there's no soil of character. And so when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there's nothing to show for it. So one of the things I want us to see from the second seed is that there's no fruit from this seed because it has no root. There's no fruit from this seed because it has no root. These rocks in these shallow soil that it's planted in don't allow the roots to set. And for many of us, our emotions are our rocks, right? Think about it. Maybe you're following Jesus and it meant you thought, you know, it was just going to mean the end of all your earthly problems and temptation, right? And so because of a number of things didn't exactly go the way you planned, rather than leaning in more so towards Jesus and believing in full faith that he will carry you through, maybe for a season of your life, you just said, you know what, God, I'm checked out. Things are just getting too hard. It's getting too complicated. I've got some questions. I've got some doubts. And so for now, I'm just going to hit the pause button. And we'll talk again here in a little bit. The amazing thing about our God is that even when we pause, even sometimes when we turn and we want to walk away from him, is that he still pursues us even in those seasons, even in those moments. Because that's his love for us, right? There's no doubt in our minds that God has shown and expressed his love for us in such a deep way, because this is what we see every time when we drive into this campus and we look outside and we see that cross, this gigantic white cross about outside of our campus. And we look at that and we know that it means hope for us, right? This tool that man meant for destruction, the Lord ultimately utilized that to save us. And Jesus went on that cross for you and I. He was nailed to the tree that he created so that we could understand what it meant to find freedom, so that we could understand what it means to have roots in him, right? Like I think about when my wife and I first moved into our house, we had these two gigantic trees in our front yard. a pine tree and an ash tree. And these roots were just going all over our front yard, right? And they popped up our driveway, so it started separating, and I'm just like, oh gosh, we're going to be broke, right? We got to pour a new driveway. We got to pour a new walkway. Somebody's got to take these trees down. And so we called out some people, and they say, Cody, do you want us to go ahead and to grind up the roots too that are exposed? And so I'm just like, yeah, sure, you know? So they come out. They cut the tree down. Every time a stump falls, like from them cutting it down, it sounds like the earth is shaking outside, right? And so they come, they ring my doorbell. They're like, all right, Cody, we're done. Thanks so much. Here's your invoice. Here's your money, right? And I go outside, and our front yard looks like an asteroid just hit it, right? There's mulch everywhere. You would have thought we were putting a playground in our front yard. So my thought was, well, if they're going to grind up the roots and, you know, stump grind and all this stuff, they were going to bag up the mulch and take it with them. But instead, they just decided to leave it in our front yard. So Carlin and I spent the next couple days, and we have an amazing neighbor. His name's Mr. CW, and he's always in his garage, right? So it's like anytime I go to mow, my man, Mr. CW, is going to say hey or ask what's going on or how Lily's doing, like all those things. He's going to ask those. And so he just kind of quietly watched us work and kind of, you know, would check on us from time to time. And so we ultimately bagged like 15 to 20 contractor bags of mulch, okay? Some of which, I'll be honest and say, are still sitting in our backyard in a corner right now because they're so heavy, right? But I was thinking about that this week and thinking about roots. And think about the root system that these trees had to have. So that when they were done and somebody was trying to get rid of these roots, the evidence of the roots were just everywhere. And so for you and I, in our own lives, when we're talking about our faith, we want our roots to be evident. We want everybody else to see who we are and to know that we're the real deal when we're saying we're a follower of Christ. Right? We hold up our end of the stick. When we tell people, hey, I'm going to pray for you this week, we do it. We walk alongside people when they're hurting and when they're grieving. And we're faithful to share with others about what God has done in our lives. And one of the ways that God has provided an amazing opportunity for us to have deep roots is for us to be surrounded in community. You think about all the people that God has put in your life, that has spoken into your life, that gave you a word of encouragement when you needed to hear it, and prayed for you when you needed prayer, even when you were afraid to ask for it. And he placed those people in your life for a reason. Like, I can think about it. All the people that God has placed in my life from 17 when I became a believer all the way through now, people that have made all the difference in my life, encouraged me when I needed encouragement, when everything seemed nuts. I was able to have roots. And so if you're here this morning and you're thinking, maybe I'm the seed that was sown amongst the rocks, do everything that you can to find that soil so that you can be planted in it and your roots can grow, right? Find a community of believers. If it's at work, or if it's your husband or wife at home, like, you guys dig into the word together and pray together. Pray for one another. Pray for your children. Students, think about all the opportunities you have on your campus, right? FCA, Christian clubs, in the locker room, all these opportunities that you guys have to be surrounded in community. And when we're in community, we have the ability to grow and to thrive. For those rocks, sometimes, like, I think about this in regards to student ministry a lot. There's a term that student pastors will say, right, is sometimes there's that roller coaster of emotions. And so you go to camp, and like, everything's perfect at camp because everything's controlled, and the worship team is just knocking it out of the park, and the camp speaker is going crazy, right? And Chuck just did a backflip while we're doing water rec, and things are just going awesome, right? And then we come home. And before we come home, we tell everybody, all right, go remember everything that God has shown you here and go live out your faith on your campuses. When you go back to school, in the new school year, when everything seems nuts. And it's not that everything's perfect. And the thing is that God never promised us that we were just going to be happy all the time, but he did say that through him, we can find true joy. And that even in those seasons where we're walking through a valley, that he's there with us. And that he is there to comfort us. And that we've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do great things for his kingdom. And so the second seed is sown amongst the rocks. The seed hears and receives with joy, but it has no roots. And this seed ultimately cannot bear fruit because it doesn't have any root system to support it, to send all the nutrients and things that it needs in order to bear the fruit. When we look at this scripture, and we see this third seed is the one that's sown amongst the thorns. And it tells us that this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves to be unfruitful. Here's what I want us to understand when we look at this third seed is that Jesus has called us, has called you and I, his church, okay, to be fruitful. Not a tree with just a bunch of pretty leaves, but for us to bear fruit, right? Because the world looks at so many different things externally and says, hey, externally, this is beauty. Hey, externally, this is success. Do everything that you need to do to chase after these things, and you're going to find fulfillment. You're going to find happiness. You'll never be sad because once you get here, you've made it, right? And we know that that's a lie. But as Christians, when we come into this place every week, we should be filled up and encouraged and challenged to go deeper in our walks and to leave this place and to go out and to bear fruit, right? For parents, like, it's a big deal. Like, I get it. It's a huge opportunity for us here at Sagemont to be able to shepherd your students, your kiddos. And we understand that we partner with you guys in discipleship. One of the greatest joys as a parent is being able to watch your little disciple grow and to pray with them and to see them live out their faith. Like, that's part of your fruit. That's an encouraging thing. Students, think about your little brothers, your little sisters. You being able to speak into their life, encourage them, that's part of your fruit. What do we do in our workplace? How do we lead out, right? Do we speak encouragement? Do we lift up those who need to be lifted up? Do we help those who need help? That's part of our fruit. And so when we look at this world and the things around us, it puts all these expectations on us. And we spend so much time and energy and effort chasing after riches, chasing after things that ultimately, at the end of our road, it won't matter. When we look at this parable and we see this, we look at this seed, we see that we can have our priorities mixed up and misplaced. And so the thing that I want us to see from this third seed is that we have to have Christ set as a priority in our life. We have to have him as a priority. He's number one. Right? He comes first and everything else falls after him. I think about the first time I ever heard my youth pastor say that he loves his wife more than his daughters. My jaw like hit the floor and I was like, Nate, hold on. Like, I don't know if that's biblical. And he's like, well, actually, Cody, it is, right? And so my whole perspective was just changed in that moment because I'm like, what is this guy talking about? He's saying he loves his wife more than his daughters. I thought dads are supposed to love their daughters more than anything, right? And so you and I realize that Christ comes first. Like, if we love God, we set him as a priority, then the next thing you know what, men, we're going to be able to love our wives and lead our families the way that we're called to do that. We're going to be able to love our children and to lead our children as we're called to do that. And it's an amazing thing. In your workplace, you go out and you live and you lead with honesty and integrity and you serve the Lord. You understand that where you've been planted in your workplace is your mission field. And it's amazing how you don't have to worry about how you're going to get fired here or what's going to happen next week here when you trust in the Lord and you move forward every step that he calls you to take and the direction in which he wants you to go, right? So we use what we have been called to do in our workplaces to help and to grow and to bear fruit. Christ should always be our first desire. And I get it. Like, there are times, there are days where busyness hits. Sometimes you don't want to set him as a priority, but it's just like working out, right? Going to the gym. It's not always fun. But if you talk to people that are into fitness, they say it's those days where you don't want to go that you need to go the most, right? And if you're the person that, like, you get home, and if you step foot on your tile or on your carpet or your wood floors, you're like, I'm not getting dressed to go to the gym. Like, I'm about to sit down right here on this couch and turn on Netflix. I'm done, right? I'm not even cooking dinner. I've got DoorDash on their way right now, right? Like, I get it. And so sometimes we have to set the alarm and we have to be disciplined to get up even when it rings at 5 a.m. and get dressed and get out the door and go to the gym and do what we want to do and pray and read our word and to get the day started right. It takes discipline. And so it also takes discipline for us to know that what the world tells us is success. What the world tells us we need is not always true. I was talking to the students about this on Wednesday night, right? We turn on our phones, we get on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and I told the students, I said, you could have a friend in Whataburger, and they're drinking a milkshake, but on their Instagram photo of them drinking a milkshake, they're like, you know, oh, I'm in Whataburger, I just ordered a chocolate shake, you know, I've got 40 of my friends here, they're all sitting around me, we're drinking shakes, right? It's like, okay, what is actually true in that picture? Or we look at it, and one of our friends in the workplace just bought a new truck, and we've been wanting a new truck for 6 years, and we've been saving, and we've been working hard, and then you see your friend go out and buy that truck, so you consider what it means for you to pause right there and to go to the Ford dealership after you get off work so you can go have a truck too. So that you can be as happy as he looked in the photo where he's like, I got my keys right here, but you don't know how much I just signed the bill, so I'm in debt up to my neck right now, right? Like, we don't think about those things. We look at what the world tells us comparison-wise and the ladder, and we want to run through the ladder and run up the ladder. We want to run in that hamster wheel, and Jesus is just telling us the entire time is, look at me. Come to me. Be planted in me. And you won't care if you're driving a 2018 Silverado or a 1993 Nissan, I don't even know, right? It won't matter to you because your priorities are right. You have the right mindset. In this whirlwind of want that we can go through in our lives and consistently needing things, feel like needing things that are not Jesus, it furthers us to misplace our priorities and to not put him first. The reality is this, is that Christ placed others as a priority in his life, in his ministry, and proof of that is the sacrifice on the cross. And the fruit of that is his church. His sacrifice on the cross was the proof of him placing others as a priority in his life. Because think about this. When Jesus was on the cross and they were shouting at him saying, crucify him, crucify him. They were so happy that he was up there. What did Christ say? He said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. How powerful was that? Because you and I, we were not there physically 2,000 years ago, but it was our sin that put Jesus up there too. Right? We talked about that earlier. Nobody had to teach us when we came into this world how to be bad. Sin is just something that we understand. And we have a tendency to sin. We have a tendency to wander. And because of that sin, there's a separation that occurred. And God didn't leave us stuck there. He gave us a way to come back to him, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. Right? He came down from heaven to earth. Scripture tells us he lived a perfect life, but he died a sinner's death on the cross. And he died that death on a cross to complete the purpose, why he came in the first place. And it's to set anybody who would lay their faith in him completely free of the punishment that we deserve because of our sin. We're completely excused from it because we've laid our faith in him. We've had an honest moment where we've been able to look at ourselves and to recognize the fact that, you know what? I'm not perfect. My mama may have always told me I was, but I'm not. I mess up. And the good thing is even though I mess up, is that God is there. And that all my sin, all my shame, all the insecurities that I have, I'm going to give them to Jesus. I'm going to lay my faith in him, give those over to him, and they're going to be nailed to the cross. And they're going to stay there. And the amazing thing about following Christ and having a relationship with him is that when you do that, when you make that decision, you get a new identity in him. You get a new identity. Everything that you thought once defined you is now made completely new in Christ. And you get to leave those things behind and to go forward and to grow and to be a disciple who makes disciples and to bear fruit. The last seed that I want us to go over this morning is this. It's a seed that is planted amongst the good soil. And Scripture tells us that this is the person who hears and takes in the news and then produces a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. Like I think about Scripture and how it tells us that our God can do more than we could ever even begin to imagine or to ask for or to think. And I think about our community around us here at Sagemont 77089 and the people around us and the students in the schools and the seniors in the community that need to hear the hope, right? The young adults, everybody that needs to hear the hope of Christ in this community. And the only way that's going to happen is if we as the church understand and know that we have been planted in the good soil. And that we're faithful to go out and, you know what, continue to scatter seed and to sow seed and to be faithful to share of what God's done in our lives, what Jesus has done, how we've been transformed. And so, you know what, to be ready to grow, right? Like we should never be content with where we are when it comes to our spiritual growth, when it comes to knowing what the Lord wants for you and I. Like if I was standing up here now and just had the same level of spirituality and growth that I needed from the time that I was 17 until now, like there's no way I would be able to do this right now. There's no way I would have even stepped foot up here. I would have been like, no, no way. But we grow, and we grow when God gives us opportunities. And so when those opportunities come, we take them and we run with them, right? And so some of us here in this room, we understand this. We grab it. We've been planted, and so we bear fruit. I think about one of the teachers across the street at Thompson Intermediate, a football coach. And he loves students to the end of the earth and back. And he doesn't even, sometimes I think, realize the impact he's making in their lives. And what he's doing and how they're seeing truth and how he's just like, you know what, whenever you guys want to come over and you want to talk to the students, whenever Sagemont wants to minister to them, y'all do it. But I also don't think it's a coincidence that every single one of his football teams this week is playing for the championship. Seventh grade A, seventh grade B, eighth grade A, eighth grade B, all playing for the championship this week. This coach and his staff understands that he's been planted. Yes, he's been planted to coach, but he's also been planted to mold young minds and to do everything he can as a teacher to help these students understand and recognize their need for Jesus. That's our job. Our friends, our family members that we may care for a lot may not understand what it means to have a relationship with Christ because there's a difference between knowing of God and knowing him. Intimately, personally. And so there's some of us here and family members, friends, whoever it may be, that just think because we're here that that's enough. And Scripture would tell us something different, that we want to be the seed that's planted. We want to be the seed that bears fruit. You see, you and I, we're planted by the Lord for a bigger purpose than we could ever imagine. Like, there will be some people that we will speak into their lives. We will encourage them. They'll be a part of that fruit that we bear, and we're not going to be able to see all the things that they do for the kingdom. You may have that person in your life that said, you know what? You're going to do greater things for the kingdom of God than I ever would have. And it might shake you for a little bit, but that might be the way that they're trying to spur you on and to help you remember that you've been planted here for a reason. The soil that you are in is a soil that God wants you to be in. It's this soil, the good soil, so that you can grow up and you can thrive and you can bear fruit. It's what we've been called to do. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is this, is do we have the faith? Do we have the obedience to walk in that calling? Do we have the confidence? If you've been looking to the world for your foundation and your security, and you keep coming up short, Jesus stands ready to receive you. And he's not going to turn you away. And we can't outrun his love. Because even when we're running away and we're wandering, he's there. And he pursues us. And so if you're here this morning and you're looking at this and you're asking yourself, well, which seed am I? And maybe you're one of the seeds that got planted and then it was scorched by the sun because it didn't have any root, right? Maybe you were here and you thought you made a decision for Christ, but now you're thinking, well, maybe that decision wasn't actually a full-fledged decision. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're just looking at all this and you know what? I've been playing games for a little while, but today I'm ready to surrender my life to Christ and lay my faith in him and walk in obedience and see what he does in and through my life. And so as the band comes back up, I just want to have a time of prayer for all of us here in this room. And right now, I just want to encourage and challenge some of us who may be sitting in the seat today, who may be Christians, who may have been followers for a long time. But you know what? It's been a while since we've grown. Or it's been a while since we've intentionally placed ourselves in community, or it's just been a while since we bore some fruit. I challenge you this week to think about which one of these seeds you are. And then when you figure that out, pray to the Lord and ask him what it is that you need to do next to set a different path for you. If he tells you to grow, God, how do you want me to grow? How do I go and do that? Be faithful to ask those things. Scripture tells us that our God is faithful to hear us when we pray to him. And so we can go to him and trust him in those things. And if you're here this morning and you want to know what it means to have a relationship with Christ, my encouragement with you today, for you today is this, is don't wait another day. Don't allow the enemy to come into your ear and into your heart and say, you know what, you can just wait until next week. Or, you know what, you don't need Jesus right now because you're so busy. You've got all these things going on. You know, why don't you just check back in about 15 years? And then maybe then it'll be the right time. The enemy loves to plant those things in us so that just like we talked about earlier, that surface level, he can come and grab it and snatch it. But Scripture also tells us that for those of us who are in the Lord, that there is nothing that can snatch us out of his hand. And so we can stand secure in that. So I'm going to pray for us this morning. If you're here this morning and you want to know what it means to begin a relationship with Christ, outside of the worship center, there's a room called the Connection Center. Outside this door, it's right to your left. Outside this door, it's right to your right. And there are people in there who are ready to pray with you, to encourage you as you begin this journey. If you need somebody to pray with you, go into the Connection Center. Have somebody pray over you today. And if you need to spend some time today here at the altar in prayer, as we close the service, the band's going to play, and you're going to have time to come up and pray at the altar if you need to and share your cares with the Lord. There's going to be people down here who are ready to pray over you and with you as well. So which seed are you? Are you ready to grow? Are you ready to thrive? Are you ready to see what God will do in your life when you take complete steps of obedience in Him? Because when we do that, and when we're confident in Him and trust in His word, and knows that He will come, we know that He will come through, all we have to do is sit back and watch and see what He does through that obedience. And the last thing I want to say before we pray is this. If you're here for the first time today, we're so glad that you're here. We're glad that you came to Sagemont to worship with us this morning. And so after this service, my wife, Carlin, and I, we're going to be in the hospitality room, which is right outside of the worship center here to our left. And we would love to meet you and pray with you and encourage you this morning. So if you're here for the first time, we are so glad you came to worship with us this morning here at Sagemont. Let me pray for us to close us out. And once again, if you need to come to the altar to pray, you are welcome to. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for who you are and for your word. And so, Lord, as we leave this place today, I pray that we would be encouraged and challenged by your scripture, that we would see where it is that you're calling us to grow. And Lord, we also pray for anybody here in this room today who knows that they want to begin a relationship with you today, Lord. We pray against any distractions or doubts that the enemy may place in their heart so that today they would know what it means to find new life in you and to be made into a new creation. God, today it is our prayer that we would go out and that we would face this week everything that's before us, being your church and going out and expressing our faith and love and bearing fruit. And so, Father, we thank you and we praise you because you are worthy. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.